Good morning. He is risen. Easter greetings to you on this sixth Sunday of the Easter season as we gather to continue our celebration of Jesus' resurrection from the dead. There is no greater demonstration of God's love than what he did for us by sending his son to go to the cross for us and raising him from death to life for our forgiveness and salvation. Trusting in that message, you and I have the sure hope of eternal life with our Lord in heaven. There is no greater demonstration of God's love than that. And we can hardly be recipients of this great love of God and not respond in kind with love toward God and love toward one another. And so that's the focus of worship on this sixth Sunday of the Easter season. We, as recipients of God's love, gladly and joyfully reflect his love to the people that he has placed in our lives. The order of service today, after the opening hymn, will first follow the order of holy baptism on pages 12 to 14 in the front of the red hymnal. After the first hymn and after the order of holy baptism, then, we will follow the order of service that begins on page 3 in the service booklet you received as you entered the church this morning. Come, let us worship the risen Lord. Thank you.
follow the order of holy baptism on page 12. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you. Our Savior Jesus Christ commanded baptism when he said, "Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." All of us are born into this world with a deep need for baptism. From our parents, we inherit a sinful nature. We are without true fear of God and true faith in God, and are condemned to eternal death. But Jesus took away our sin by giving his life on the cross. At our baptism, he clothes us with the robe of his righteousness and gives us a new life. Our sinful nature need not control us any longer. We recall what baptism means for our daily lives as we speak these words. Baptism means that the sinful nature in us should be drowned by daily sorrow and repentance, and that all its evil deeds and desires be put to death. It also means that a new person should daily arise to live before God in righteousness and purity forever. As baptized children of God, we confess our sins. Holy and merciful Father, I confess that I am by nature sinful, and that I have disobeyed you in my thoughts, words, and actions. I have done what is evil, and failed to do what is good. For this I deserve your punishment, both now and in eternity. But I am truly sorry for my sins, and trusting in my Savior Jesus Christ, I pray. Lord, God, our Heavenly Father, has been merciful to us and has given his only Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Therefore, as a called servant of Christ and by his authority, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. In obedience to our Lord and trusting in his promise, you have brought this child to be baptized. Jesus told us, "Let the little children come to me, and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these." It is in baptism that God grants the new life of forgiveness, joy, and peace to little children. By the power of God's word, this gracious water of life washes away sin, delivers from death and the devil, and gives eternal salvation to all who believe. Tatum, receive the sign of the cross upon your head and upon your heart to mark you as a redeemed child of Christ. Tatum Adriana Wallace, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. The Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit has forgiven all your sins. By your baptism, you are born again and made a dear child of your Father in heaven. May God strengthen you to live in your baptismal grace all the days of your life. Peace be with you. Please stand. I'll give this to you. Jesus said, "I am the light of the world." When we follow Jesus, we'll never walk in darkness, but we have the light of life. Light this candle again and again on the anniversary of Tatum's baptism to remember the good things that God has done for her. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, our Lord commands that we teach his precious truths to all who are baptized. Christian love, therefore, urges all of us, especially parents and witnesses, to assist in whatever manner possible so that Tatum may remain a child of God until death. If you are willing to carry out this responsibility, then answer, "Yes, as God gives me strength." Yeah. Let us pray. Merciful Father in heaven, we thank you for the blessing of baptism, by which you give and offer and grant the forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation. Help us to regard our baptism as the robe of righteousness we are to wear all the days of our life. Look with special favor on Tatum and grant her a rich measure of your Spirit, that she may grow in faith and godly living. Make us willing to carry out our responsibilities to those who have been baptized, so that all of us may finally come to the blessed joys of heaven. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
Worship continues on page 3 in the service book.
Save me, O God.
O Lord, come with me to help me.
Give glory to God, our light and our life.
Service is Psalm 98, printed on page 5 in the service booklet. Please sing the psalm as indicated following the instructions on page 5, responsibly with the cantor who will sing the verses.
Holy arm of the earth, the sea,
remember his kindness and faithfulness to Israel.
Three scripture lessons for today's service, all in one way or another, demonstrate that concept of Christian love in light of God's love toward us through his Son's death and resurrection for us. In the first lesson for today, our reading comes from the Acts of the Apostles. We learn of a Christian woman in the early church by the name of Tabitha, who was not only an example of Christian love, but in this account, we also see our Lord's power over death. We read from Acts chapter 9. In Joppa there was a disciple named Tabitha, which when translated is Dorcas, who was always doing good and helping the poor. About that time she became sick and died, and her body was washed and placed in an upstairs room. Lydda was near Joppa, so when the disciples heard that Peter was in Lydda, they sent two men to him and urged him, "Please come at once." Peter went with them. And when he arrived, he was taken upstairs to the room. All the widows stood around him, crying and showing him the robes and other clothing that Dorcas had made while she was still with them. Peter sent them all out of the room. Then he got down on his knees and prayed. Turning toward the dead woman, he said, "Tabitha, get up." She opened her eyes, and seeing Peter, she sat up. He took her by the hand and helped her to her feet. Then he called the believers and the widows and presented her to them alive. This became known over all Joppa, and many people believed in the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. The second scripture lesson appointed for today's service comes from St. John's first letter in chapter 4, a section where he talks about two important Christian concepts side by side, Christian truth and Christian love. The second part of this reading, verses 7 through 11, will be the basis of this morning's sermon as well. We read from 1 John chapter 4. Dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. This is how you can recognize the Spirit of God. Every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. But every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard is coming and even now is already in the world. You, dear children, are from God and have overcome them, because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. They are from the world and therefore speak from the viewpoint of the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God, and whoever knows God listens to us, but whoever is not from God does not listen to us. This is how we recognize the spirit of truth and the spirit of falsehood. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. This too is the word of the Lord. Out of respect for the words of Jesus in the gospel, please stand. In words that Jesus spoke to his disciples on Thursday night of Holy Week, he encourages them to love each other just as he has loved them. We read the Holy Gospel according to St. John in chapter 15. Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. This is my command: love each other." This is the gospel of the Lord. You may be seated for the hymn of the day. Please follow the instructions for singing the hymn of the day that are noted on the bottom of page 7 in the service booklet. The hymn of the day is the first 8 stanzas of hymn 377 in the red hymnal. is risen.
He is risen.
What's love got to do with it? So sang 1980s pop music star Tina Turner in her hit that made the top of the charts in 1984. What's love got to do with it? That song was really a rhetorical question about her life and her relationship with her husband, which ended up to be a very abusive relationship, one that she had to walk out of to preserve her own safety. What's love got to do with it? For Tina Turner, it seemed like love didn't have a whole lot to do with her relationship, which is why in her song she dismissed it as a secondhand emotion. What's love got to do with it? The question that Tina Turner asked in her 1984 hit is going to be the question that you and I ask in this morning's sermon. But the context of our question is quite a lot different than Tina Turner's song from several decades ago. We are nearing the end of the Easter season. Our celebration of Jesus' ascension is just around the corner this week, Thursday. We'll have that celebration jointly with our sister congregation, Hope Lutheran Church in Penryn. They will be hosting the ascension service. After that, there's one more Sunday in Easter. And you've heard it said before that the early weeks of the Easter season have to do with the facts of Jesus' resurrection. And then the later weeks of the Easter season have to do with the significance of Jesus' resurrection on our daily lives. We did a good job the first 3 weeks of Easter explaining and articulating and defending the facts of Jesus' resurrection. But are those just facts for facts' sake? Does the Christian faith merely start and end with the proclamation of some facts that happened 2,000 years ago? The facts are important. They're very important. Otherwise, we wouldn't be celebrating Jesus' resurrection from the dead for 7 weeks. But if we were to stop there and not let the facts permeate our hearts and let that faith in those facts display itself in our hearts and lives, we would be missing something very important from our daily lives. And so this morning, St. John helps us to move from Easter facts to Easter significance in our daily lives. As we look at the last 5 verses of today's second lesson, St. John will get us to think about that question. What's love got to do with it? If you'd like to follow along with the reading, you'll find it on page 6 in the service booklet. Again, we're looking at the second lesson for today on page 6, and we're looking at the last 5 verses, verses 7 through 11. The Greek word agape, translated love, appears in these 5 verses no less than 13 times in various forms. So there's no question that John's topic that he has in mind here is all about Christian love. He begins with these words, "Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love." Our translation begins with the address, "Dear friends." But the word "friends" really is the first of those 13 times that a form of the Greek word agape, or love, appears in this section. So I suppose we could translate it, "Dearly beloved." Sounds like the start of a wedding address, right? "Dearly beloved." But that term, it sounds a little archaic. It sounds like it belongs in a wedding sermon. But that term "beloved" is a way of expressing more clearly how John addresses us here. "Beloved" is simply a term just to express the idea that John is addressing people who have received love. And since we have received love from God, love is simply going to be a way of life for the Christian. The reason is simple. John says love comes from God. If God has made you spiritually reborn, and he has, if God has brought you to a saving knowledge of his Son's saving work at the cross and empty tomb, and he has, then love is going to come naturally. And John says it again even more strikingly and even more simply. God is love. He puts an equal sign between God on the one hand and love on the other hand. You cannot truly love unless you are connected to God. And you cannot help, on the other hand, you cannot help but want to love others if you have been made a son or daughter of the God who is love. It's Mother's Day today. Why do you love Mom? You'd better have good reasons for answering this question. Otherwise, there's going to be problems this afternoon. Why do you love Mom? There's probably a whole bunch of reasons, right? Mom took care of you from day one. She fed you. She changed your diapers. She walked you around the house in the middle of a sleepless night, making sure all of your needs were being taken care of as she consoled you as a little infant. And then you got older, and she cleaned you up, and she kissed your owies when you got hurt. She always fed you a good, nutritious meal. When you were stumped with your math homework, she was there to help you figure it out. As you headed off to college, she sent you care packages to say how much she misses you and loves you. As an adult, you called on her for advice when you weren't sure on how to handle something. Let's face it, one of the reasons we love our mothers is because they loved us in the first place and demonstrated that love in all sorts of concrete, tangible ways. Why do you love God? The list could be very long. He brought you into this world. He placed godly friends and loving family into your life. He gives us bright, sunny California weather to enjoy, drought notwithstanding. He gives you income and support for all the things that you need for daily life. He has placed us in a free country where we can worship Him and we can serve Him in the church freely. He has brought you through some difficult times in your life, and He's made you a lot stronger through those difficult times. Let's face it, the reason that you and I love God is because He loved us first. John says that elsewhere in this book. But at the top of the list, at the top of the list of all the reasons why we should love God are none of the things that we just mentioned. These are all good reasons. These are all good gifts of God, good reasons why we ought to love God. But that doesn't top the list. Here's what tops St. John's list. This is how God showed His love among us. He sent His one and only Son into the world that we might live through Him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Of all the things that John could have listed, of all the things that you and I could come up with in our own list, what tops the list? What one rises to the top? How does God love us so much? In this one unique and special way, of all the gifts that God gives us, He actually sent us His very Son, His one and only Son. And He did not just send Jesus into this world to say hi and to help clean things up and to help show us how to make the world a better place. Listen again. This is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. We who have never loved God in the perfect and holy way that He demands in His Word, we who because of our sin ought to experience not the love of God but the wrath of God, and not for time but for eternity, we above all are blessed by God because He loved you. He loved us. He loved you individually so much that He would send His Son not just to come down and say hello, but to actually go to the cross and suffer our hell in our place in the process as the one and only way that would achieve our forgiveness from sins, and that now gives us, offers and gives us spiritual and eternal life. God loves us in so many different and unique and beautiful and concrete ways, countless ways, but there is no greater demonstration of God's love than this. He sent His one and only Son into the world that we might live through Him. Is that not amazing? Is that not amazing? Could you conceive of doing anything remotely close to this for someone in need? Would you give yourself, or would you give one of your children to bail out your best friend from prison? I kind of doubt it.
And now let's say the person in dire straits behind bars is not your best friend, but your worst enemy. You're going to trade places with them? Good heavens, no. Not a chance. But this is the unique, amazing, incredible love of God for lost sinners like you and me, that he would give up his son to forgive us and then use that message to place faith in our hearts so that you and I might live as God's children now and forever in heaven. Can you and I receive such tremendous love from God, a gift like no other, and intentionally, deliberately, willingly keep that from changing us? Can we receive the love of God that no past or present or future gift of love will ever compare to and somehow keep that love from permeating our hearts and our lives? John gets us to think about that question when he closes out our reading with this final statement. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. Dear friends, again, that's another place where we could translate it, dearly beloved. John uses that unique and endearing term to introduce his final encouragement. And notice that he places no guilt over us. There's no stigma over his words. There's no coercion. He's not forcing us to love one another. He pictures that love for our fellow Christians ought to flow naturally from the love that has filled our hearts because God has revealed his love in his Son to us. So what's love got to do with it? What's love got to do with our lives? We who have received such incomparable love from God will want to love one another, reflecting the very same self-giving love to others that you and I have been graced to receive. When I read the second lesson earlier in the service, I mentioned that the entire reading covers the concepts of both truth and love. It's unfortunate that sometimes in the church today, those concepts of truth and love are actually pitted against each other when they really shouldn't be. There's a couple versions of this. There's an incorrect idea floating around that if we hold on to the firm truth of God's word and don't deviate from it, that means we're going to have to act in an unloving manner toward others. And that's just not true. And there's also the idea that if we want to be a church or a people known for being loving, then that means that we're going to have to water down the message of God's word somehow. And that also is not true. I've shared this anecdote once before. When I was pastor in the Bay Area, I remember driving around. I was heading to visit one of our shut-in members, and I passed by a church in San Francisco that had one of those outdoor signs with the movable letters. And the sign was made to read, to say this: doctrine divides, service unites. The idea was that Christian doctrine or teaching somehow is going to divide us from one another. But if we focus on serving one another in love, that's what's going to unite us. That's another example of how truth and love are being pitted against each other when they really should be treated like they go hand in hand, they go naturally together. It doesn't have to be the way that we've described. In fact, it should never be that way. And as we think about the 50-year milestone that St. Mark's congregation is reaching this year, and as we think about what the next 50 years can look like under God's grace, doesn't it sound like St. John's vision of the church is the perfect picture and vision for St. Mark's next 50 years? And in many ways, it describes what St. Mark's has looked like in its past 50 years. Here is a church where people gladly and willingly came. In its early history, people were storming the doors because they finally found a church that wasn't messing around with the Word of God because they loved the Word of God and they loved being faithful to the Word of God. And here is a church where when we have had members who have faced difficult times, difficult personal circumstances or changes in life, where church members have come together to help out those people in their time of need in acts of Christian love. Here is a church where people gladly stick around for Bible class. And I encourage you to do that if that's not part of your routine. To gladly stick around. Why? So we can learn more and dig deeper into the love of God and grow stronger in our knowledge of God and his grace. Here is a church where once again this morning, especially in our late service today, we will be able to welcome with open arms 10 new members, welcoming them into our church family and fellowship with Christian love and warmth and concern for them. What's love got to do with it? What's love got to do with the next 50 years at St. Mark's? The list can be as long as your imaginations, and the possibilities to love will never be depleted. But given the tremendous love of God to us, and given the tremendous message of God's love that we have been privileged to proclaim for 5 decades now, we are truly poised to be a church that loves the children in our school by supporting their Christian education in our school and by encouraging them when they augment our services with gospel messages in their songs, to be a church that loves each other by our concerned prayers and our listening ears and our compassionate hearts that want to serve each other and care for each other in love. To be a church that loves our community by refusing to be a members-only club, but by looking for more unique ways that we can connect to lost souls in our neighborhood so that they can come to hear the message of God's love for them that God has preserved among us these 50 years. What's love got to do with it? St. John has told us well. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. Let John's simple but profound words be God's vision for this congregation and for each one of you in your daily personal lives. Amen. I invite you to open to pages 8 and 9 in the service booklet. We respond to God's word by singing the song, You Are God, We Praise You. Pages 8 and 9 in the service booklet.
Thank you.
are now gathered. As the offerings are collected, please fill out, if you haven't already, the worship attendance card that you received when you came into the church, then pass those cards to the center aisle. The ushers will collect them after the offerings have been gathered. We bow our heads to join in the prayer of the church. Almighty God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, we praise you for reconciling us to yourself through the sufferings and death of your dear Son. Through him we have confidence to enter into your presence and to bring you our prayers and petitions. Out of the infinite bounty of your goodness, grant us a rich measure of your Spirit. Let the love of Christ fill your church, so that it may flourish in all good works. Help us show love and compassion for all who are in need. Bestow on the nations of the earth the knowledge of your mercy, that they may turn to you, the only true God, and find salvation in you. Heavenly Father, you are the source of life, wisdom, and all good gifts. Look with favor on all mothers who have given life to their children and who nurture them with loving concern and faithful instruction. May their children honor them and call them blessed. When they become weary, sustain them with physical and spiritual rest. Hear us for the sake of your Son, Jesus, who cared for his earthly mother and in whom you are well pleased. Strengthen our faith so that we unfailingly come to you in prayer for all our bodily needs. Give a special measure of your power to those who are sorrowful or mourning, to those who are in pain or sickness, to those who may be in temptation or peril, that they may receive your blessed aid, and help us patiently endure any chastening and afflictions that you permit to come into our lives, knowing that you are using them in love to prepare us for that joyful communion with you, which is ours for all eternity. Accept our prayers and intercessions, and provide for all our needs, not because we are worthy, but for the sake of Jesus, our Savior. In his name we pray all these things. Amen. Our service continues with the next hymn, number 749, found in the blue hymnal supplement.
Please stand as worship continues on page 10 in the service booklet.
In the morning, O Lord, I call to you. Be merciful to me and hear my prayer.
Join in our Savior's prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Father of lights, every good and perfect gift comes from you. Inspire us to think those things that are true, and long for those things that are good, that we may always make our petitions according to your gracious will. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
O Lord, our Heavenly Father, almighty and everlasting God, you have brought us safely to this new day. Defend us with your mighty power and grant that this day we neither fall into sin nor run into any kind of danger. And in all we do, direct us to what is right in your sight. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord.
Let us praise the Lord.
Praise be to God.
The Lord bless and keep you.
Amen.
The Lord's face ever shine upon you. For all your days.
We remain standing to sing the closing hymn, the last two stanzas of hymn 377 in the red hymnal.
Thank you.
be seated. Good morning again to all of you, and especially to the guests who joined us for worship today at St. Mark's. It's our privilege to share the good news of God's love in Jesus Christ with you. We hope that we'll have that opportunity again in the weeks to come. Just a few highlights for the announcements, and then the ushers during this time will be setting up the Wells Connection video, so I better move, otherwise I will be run over. Just a few highlights. This Thursday, as I alluded to in the sermon, we will celebrate Ascension with a joint service together with Hope Lutheran Church in Penryn, our sister congregation. They will host the service. Information is in the weekly news announcements that you'll receive as you exit the center aisle, or you can pick up on either of the side entrance doors to the church sanctuary. But Hope is just off, is on Penryn Road, just off of I-80, not a long drive away. They hosted it last year. It was a real neat experience, and so we look forward to joining them this Thursday evening at 7 o'clock for our joint Ascension service. Next Sunday, during the Bible class hour between services, we have an open forum scheduled to talk about budgetary and financial issues at St. Mark's, which you will be considering early so that when we get to the voters meeting on 7, you'll be fully informed before that meeting comes. And so that's the reason for that open forum, and we encourage your participation in that as well. Note also school graduation events coming up. Note also that this Friday the school will put on its play, and we encourage you to attend that and show support to our school students that way as well. So those are the basic announcements for this week. Let's take a look now at the Wells Connection video for the month of May.